Well, open up to a chapter you've never heard of before, Romans 8. I can't get my mind away from this phrase about God's purpose. You know, what's this really all about? So often I think we get lost in the details. You know, he intended to cross the forest, and you got to examining the bark on the trees. And then you started noticing there was insects in the bark, and you start studying that. Pretty soon your life is over. You never did cross that forest. Why? You got caught up in the details. And I don't know if you recognize it, but that's Mark chapter 4. His purpose is to keep you so distracted and so occupied with trouble and affliction and the cares of this world that you never do have time to finish the tutoring of the Lord, what the Hebrews calls the chastening of the Lord. But if you really look that word up, the meaning is simply to tutor. He wants to train you and mold you, and he's got a purpose for that. See, there's an ultimate purpose. And we tend to forget that sometimes. So I'm going to do a little review from the last service that I did, and then we're going to go a little bit farther. And by the way, just so you'll see it more clearly today, even though we're roughly halfway through the year this year, and it doesn't seem like we've been teaching out of Ephesians, you'll find out today we are. Still are. Trying to understand. And we're trying to cross that forest, get to the other side, which really, in our spirit, we already have. It's our soul is the one that's running behind. Anyway, Romans 8, we'll start again in verse 28. It's difficult to start there once you've been down the born-again trail. I really want to go back all the way and relay all that foundation. If you're listening to my voice, which means you're a part of the vision of the prayer center, if you have never heard Pastor Dave's series on, we call it the Born Again Trail, 6 volumes, I believe it is, with 10 messages in each volume. And no matter where you are in the world, you can't afford them because they're available for free at his website. And that's www.daveroberson.org. It will deliver you from religion. You're going to have an open mind because things that you were taught probably in church, you're going to have to weigh that against what the Word really says. And I don't know about you, but I already made up my mind. I'm going with the Word of God, not the traditions, and I don't care how long they believe them. So it's hard for me to start in verse 28 or verse 26 even, because it starts off with the word likewise. Well, isn't that some way to start? Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Why would he say that? Well, here it's a capital S for Spirit, and it should be, because he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Have y'all noticed there's some infirmities? Am I the only one that's noticed that? My flesh, and not only that, but my, we call them strongholds in the soul, you know. And it's infirmities. It's things that causes us not to be Christ-like. But the reason he starts us off with likewise, this whole chapter and really the preceding chapters, he's been laying the case for the new nature. And that's what we call the born-again trail. The problem with man was he had fallen and had received a nature that was not like God. So no matter how hard with his mind he wanted to try and keep God's law, he just kept falling again, falling again. The ultimate solution for that was not trying harder. Man had already tried hard. Nobody could ever do it. So God says, I'm going to have to change their nature. And that's, we're going to get to that purpose here now. That's part of God's eternal purpose that he will not ever change from, a decision he made before the foundations of the world. We're going to get to it here in a minute. But he gave us that nature, and chapter 8 is all about teaching you that nature is helping you overcome your infirmities in the flesh, strongholds in the mind. The new nature is helping you. But that's not all he gave us. It's helping you against your infirmities, but the Holy Spirit likewise. That's why it starts in verse 26, the new nature, and then also God the Holy Ghost. Say that with me. God, the Holy Ghost, is helping you. I think you might win. I mean, I know your flesh seems strong, and these strongholds in the soul, they seem strong. I mean, Gary, you don't have any... Oh, right. You know, they should have had a... I mean, I know how the prayer center could have made just tons of money if they would have sold those T-shirts when we first started here. Right across the chest, it says, "Strongholds are us." That's Sue and I, you know. And I know some of those strongholds have been overcome and perfectly conquered. But I know there's still strongholds there. But when I really get to... Okay, let's say it. I'm 63 now. I've had these strongholds a few days. they get entrenched. It's like, this is just who you are. You know, and I don't fall to all of them. Not all of them. Every day. Oh, God. But it seems like I fall to one of them or something about every day. And you get hopeless. You get to thinking, I'm never going to change, you know. It's never going to change. But then thank God for His Word. Faith comes by hearing His Word. Faith comes by this. And I read this again and I go, now wait a minute. You strongholds that seem like such giants in my land. Wait a minute. It's... the new nature, really, that's God's nature in me. That really is enough. But as if that wasn't enough, I've also got the third member of the Godhead, God the Holy Ghost Himself. Strongholds, who do you think you are? I'm not going to stay like I am either. My walk is not going to stay at this power level either. Who do you think you are, strongholds? It's good preaching. I think I'll continue. Hallelujah. It's blessing me myself. It says, likewise, the Spirit. That's the Holy Ghost. The third. Likewise, God, the Holy Spirit. He's also helping against those infirmities. Now, here's one way He can really help. I mean, He can help in every way. But for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Let's just stop right there for a minute. How many of you think God likes to answer prayer? I think He does. I'd like, you know, here's a nice prayer. God, fix me. And He's going, I'd like to. I've made provision for that. My son died for that. Yeah, but God, I'm not walking in all of it. He said, well, I have given you the land. Does that sound familiar? I've given you the land. You've got to go up by faith and possess it. No, I want you to go possess it. He said, no, I want you to possess it, but I am going to go with you. Oh, okay. See, and that's His Holy Ghost, see. He says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Fix me, God. Trouble is, I don't really know what's wrong with me. I can see the end result. But I don't know what causes me to act the way I act sometimes. And all of these strongholds, let's get it straight. There's really nothing wrong with you at your core. Did you know you are His bouncing baby child? Made in His image, whom He will not ever leave you nor ever forsake you. You are the apple of His eye. Made in His own image, and He will not abandon you. But that does not mean you're not making messes every day. Throwing up on people through anger and rage and every day doesn't mean He doesn't love you. Boy, and He will not forsake you. We'll throw out the dirty diapers, but not throw out the baby. You got to get that part. He loves you. You're the apple of His eye, messes and all. But He doesn't want us to stay that way. He has a purpose, and we talked about that tutoring. Well, let me get on here now. Oh, well, He's helping us. We don't know what's wrong with us. I don't even know how to pray about that. He says, well, the Holy Spirit, He'll come. Look at this. He's going to help you. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't really know. But the Spirit, and it's capital again, God the Holy Spirit Himself, He makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I like the time that there's two reasons I see there. One reason they can't be uttered is what it says in the first part of the verse. We don't know what to pray. We don't even know what's wrong with us. God fix me, but beyond that, I don't know how to pray. I don't know why I act the way I act. I see it, oh man. Well, I see it all the time, can y'all tell I love Sue? Can y'all tell I love that woman? She's not in here right now to hear me. I'm not doing it for that reason. Sometimes though, now if y'all tell this, I'll say you lied about it. No, I won't. I'll just, for no good reason at all. Seem like a stranger shows up and speaks to me. And I'll say something so harsh. I wouldn't talk to a perfect stranger that way. Man, I feel, you talk about going to the woodshed? Not by her, by my father. See, I know about that chastening now. He'll take you to the woodshed. You can't get away with that. Now this one I'm about to tell you was years ago. Thank God it was. I got into some kind of, I don't even remember what it was about. It wasn't nothing. But whatever it was, I got angry. Still in the same house we're in now, and got out in the car, boy, and I backed out and started off and gave a little chirp of the tires. Man, I wasn't a half a block away. I heard as clear as I've ever heard God in my life, and I heard Him in this tone of voice, "You be careful how you speak to my daughter." Car went, hit the brakes, turn around, park the car, sheepishly come in, tell her what I heard, apologize. I don't know what's wrong with Gary. See, I don't know what causes that. Even after it happens, I go, "What is wrong with you?" Because I love that woman. She has been so good to me and still is, Is she perfect? Yes. What do you think? I'm a fool? What's wrong with you? Of course. She may hear this. I'm glad y'all are family. Well, that's exactly why the Holy Spirit, He comes to my aid, And see, now I'm past the point of believing that I'm praying about a new car, new truck, or whatever it is, I said, "God, fix me." He said, "Well, would you allow my Holy Spirit to make intercession for you?" He says, "I sent Him for that very purpose. You don't even know what to pray. You don't know." And there's really, and again, I got to emphasize this, we're not talking about in your spirit. You're His child. It's these strongholds in the soul. It's emotional things and thought patterns that they're just exactly like the strongholds in the promised land, Jericho and all those cities, Ai and all of them. And have you noticed He doesn't conquer them all in one day? That's what they wanted too, Give us the whole land in one day. He says, no. Stronghold by stronghold, city by city, you'll conquer the land. One of the big helps of the Holy Spirit is to come, and when we don't know what to pray, I don't know what to pray. And we're just talking about the strongholds aspect. We're not even talking right now about your calling. Hardly anybody knows what they are. It's a Bible college that I'm familiar with. I heard them say one time, it's amazing how many apostles enroll in their freshman year. We ask them what they think their calling is. It's amazing how many apostles enroll. But if they finish the teaching, it's amazing how many ushers, graduate. Ministry of Helps and Administrations. You don't know. But He knows your calling too, see. So not only is He working to tear down strongholds, but He's also praying God's calling in your life. And it talks exactly about that. It says the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Man. And while that's going on, you can rest assured, if while you're yielding yourself over for God the Holy Ghost to pray for you, through you, if I can say it that way. See, it's 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. It is your spirit, but it's God the Holy Ghost who is creating that language. He is articulating what you don't know to pray. And it's not only about the strongholds, fix me, oh God, fix me. But it's, oh God, use me. What do you want me to do? What is your will for my life? He's praying that also. And man, while you're uttering those prayers, that's when verse 28 comes in. We know that all things are working together for your good to those that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now here it is, purpose. Well, what is that purpose? What is all of this about? What is God's ultimate purpose? Verse 29, He says, for whom He did foreknow. Now stop for a moment. He just says He foreknew you. God lives outside of time. Time is a created thing. God is eternal. There is no time with Him. That's why prophecy, is when it's really from God, is always 100% accurate. He's not guessing. He's also not causing. Notice it says, for whom He did foreknow. It doesn't say He people use this verse to teach predestination. It's not predestination, it's pre-knowledge. Now, He did make a decision. He predetermined something. Let's look at it here. Whom He did foreknow. He looked down through time. I like to see it like a railroad track, you know. If you just drive down here on the west side, we got a lot of railroad tracks. And those trains coming by, unless you follow them in a helicopter, you don't really know where they're going. But see, if you were from God's perspective and you could see the whole United States, or even from a satellite, you can see where every train is going. You just look further down the tracks and you can see where they're going. Okay? Well, God looks at all of our decisions down through time. He just goes and looks. And this is what happened. This is the end result. He's not causing that. He foreknows that. Big difference. We talked on that. What do we call that last message? Prophecy, predestination, and free will. Anyway, whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. He made a decision before the foundation of the world that everybody who would come to Christ, everybody who would put their faith in Him, that they would be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That is God's purpose. This whole redemptive work is to take fallen man, regenerate his spirit, make him a new creature, give us His Word so we can renew our mind. That's the phase of redemption we're in right now. And then ultimately, at the end of the age, we're even going to receive glorified bodies. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know about you. I'm really looking forward to a body that has righteousness in it. I talk to my body now and say, let's go have chicken and donuts. I mean, at the same time, you know. My body goes, that sounds like a good idea. I can't imagine saying to my body, let's go sin. And my body goes, no. No. Why not? I'm righteous. I don't like to sin. What? Maybe your body's like that already. Anyway, it gets real quiet when I preach on that. So, the purpose of God. Now, we run by that verse too often, too quickly, most times. What's God's ultimate purpose? That everyone who believes be conformed to the image of His Son. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Then again, I don't have any notes today, so this is why I usually have them. Yeah. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is not going to become. He is a new creature. old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's a song that we used to sing a lot, and I don't, trust me, I can't sing. Dave doesn't allow me to sing either. I sing quietly when he can't hear me. No, I'm teasing. But he says, how does that song go? Something about, I looked at my hands and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. And it's singing about the new creation. I always went, no, they don't. My hands didn't change. My feet didn't change. I got to tell you, a whole lot of my soul didn't change. What part of me changed? What is it talking about here? It wasn't my hands and my feet and my intellect. It's my spirit. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That's talking about that old nature that you had that, I don't know if you see, God is love. That's His nature. You received the nature of selfless love. Let me put it that way. God so loved that He gave. See? What's the opposite of that? Selfishness. That's the nature of the devil. That's the nature all little children are born with, and we love our children. I love my grandchildren. Don't you talk about my grandchildren. Don't you even think about it. But yet I can watch that same nature. One toy, two grandchildren, World War III. World War III. Yet they love each other, but it's a selfish love. You know, I've seen just hug and love on each other, you know, and Cole's a real good big brother, you know, and Lily's a pretty good little sister. But right on the other hand, and they'll just hug on each other. It's so cute, you know, and then, I mean, 5 minutes later, World War III. What is that? Well, that's all humanity. It's the nature, it's selfish nature, see? But when we got born again in our spirit, the part of you that is born of God, I mean, that old selfish nature passed away. You are a love child, and I don't mean it in the way the world means it. You are a child with the nature of love on the inside of you. So am I. Well, what in the world causes me to erupt on Sue sometimes? And what causes that Mount Vesuvius thing? Strongholds. It's not in my spirit. It's in my soul. I read books, and I don't read very many anymore, but every now and then somebody gets me to promise. I'm reading one right now. I'm not going to tell you who it's by. And here's that same thing again. And they'll tell you that when God looks at you, he's seeing Jesus. Well, at its essence, that's true. He is your righteousness. When God looks at you for righteousness, He's really not looking at you, He's looking at Jesus. I agree with that part when it comes to your spirit. Now let's unreligiousize the thing and let's make it like a family. When I look at Lily, and y'all know how I feel, don't you talk about her. Y'all know how I feel about my little, she's going to be 3 next month, 3 years old. Come, she spent all night with us the other night. So I'm going to go to Papa's house. Boy, she's already got me right where she wants me. I'm telling you now. And, you know, the Papa's house is 2 ice cream cones for, you know, not just 1, 2. And she knows that. I'll be sitting on the couch. She'll back over to the wall and she gets this little look on her face like, she knows, I know what's coming. She goes, you ready? You ready? You know, a little look on her face, man. You ready? I said, okay. And I hold out my arms. Boy, here she comes running as fast as those little legs will bring her across the room. It flies into my arms and I'm supposed to throw her on the couch and tickle her belly. We're talking fun. This is great. I mean, I can't tell you the joy. When I look at her, in many ways, I see perfection. I mean, you think I'm not going to provide for her? You think I don't love her? You think I'm not going to spend time with her? You think I can possibly ever abandon her? You think I could trade her for anybody else? You must be kidding. Do I think she needs some tutoring? Yes. I think she needs some tutoring. I think there's things in her soul, her little, you know, there's some selfishness there. First, she's got to get born again, you know. She's got to get, I mean, and then she's got to be trained. She's got to, I don't want her to grow. I want to lavish my love on her. I don't want to spoil her where she grows up to be a selfish little brat. See, you understand? I think God looks at us very much like that. We are His child. He goes, you ready? He's ready to play. He's ready to have fun. He wants to spend time with you. He wants fellowship. He delights in your presence. His eyes, I think, light up when you pray. When you come to the throne, He goes, what, angels, quiet. Lily's here. My child is here. Does he think we need tutoring? Does he think we need to grow up? Yeah. And that's the way I really see it. I mean, he loves me. He will not forsake me. He will not abandon me in my darkest hour. That's when he's there. No matter what slimy rock I crawled out from under. Let's say it another way. No matter how big a poopy I made, he's there. But he sure would like for me to spend some time with him and grow up. Well, now we're talking about the Holy Ghost. We're talking about the real purpose of God in giving us that Holy Ghost. Where we don't have to stay like we are, but stronghold by stronghold, we can conquer the land. When it talks about conform to His image, I don't want to leave that too quick. What image? See, we know Jesus right now is seated at the right hand of the Father. And I know positionally we are too, but He's physically there in His glorified body. If you want to see what He looks like, He doesn't look like He did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can read it in the first chapter of Revelations. I mean, hair white and His voice like the sound of many waters. And, you know, and I mean, the description of Him is quite different than the one you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the image we're conformed to right now while we're wearing this earth suit, the way I understand it, now someday we're going to be just like that. We're going to receive that glorified body like He has. But right now, the image, as I understand the gospel, He is trying to conform us to the image that we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That we go about, that's why He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these, because I go unto the Father. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. That should be our common testimony, not just our confession. That should be the common testimony of believers. How God has anointed me with the Holy Ghost. What do you do every day? I go about doing good. How do you do that? Healing all that are oppressed of the devil. How do you do that? God is with me. My God is with me. Conform to His image, the one that we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. With the righteous nature of God on the inside of us, a soul that has bowed the knee to the will of the Father. We talked about that last time too. Not my will, but thine be done. Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. Not my will, but thine be done. A soul that has bowed the knee to the Master. A spirit born of the living God. A mind renewed to think like Christ. And anointed with the same Holy Ghost. God, the world has not seen that since the first century. It is my firm belief the world is about to see it again. But see, in that first century, the book of Hebrews was written. And that's when the writer of Hebrews said to those believers, he says, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto sons. Despise not thou the chastening, the tutoring, the instruction of the Lord. That instruction has a purpose. That instruction is He is not just in our spirit, but in our soul. How are we really changed? Be not conformed to this world, but be you renewed. How? Do you remember? In the mind. Ephesians says, in the spirit of your mind, and I really like that. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Romans 12 just talks about the renewed mind. In the spirit of your mind. Again, It's hard. You can't go back and reteach all of the foundation stones that's brought us here. When Dave was teaching us about the inner man and what your spirit man really looks like, he took us all the way back to Lazarus and the rich man. And after the rich man died, he was in hell. Yet he said, please have, I see Lazarus, which tells us that the spirit man, even in hell, had eyes. He could see. He says, I pray that Lazarus would put the tip of his finger in water and come and touch my tongue. So we know that the spirit man has tips of fingers. And we know that the spirit man has tongue. He went through that whole thing, and to get us to the main point was, look, there is a spirit on the inside of you that fills every part of you, and your brain, your natural brain, there is a spiritual brain inside your real brain, or your material brain. That spiritual brain is where you receive the mind of Christ. That's where the thought transfer is done. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, I mean, your understanding, your natural mind at that moment is unfruitful, but your spiritual mind is sitting in the classroom of the Holy Ghost, and for however long you'll let Him, He is communicating mysteries, Holy Spirit, to your regenerated human spirit as fast as is possible. As your spiritual mind receives that instruction, that is the tutoring of the Lord. That is where He is communicating unearthly wisdom, heavenly wisdom, physics beyond the physics of this world. You do know that Jesus was not limited by the physics of this world, right? You do know that H2O cannot, when it's not in the ice form, it cannot support the weight of a human. Yet it did for Him. Why? He's not bound. He's not limited by the physics of this world. And dear heart, neither are you. There is spiritual surgery for cancer that we have not been tutored to yet. There is, just this last week, both of my parents suffer from macular degeneration. If you know anything about that, it's a retina, the disease of the retina, and it causes a blind spot right in the center. They have good peripheral vision. They can still walk and get around, but you can't drive a car, and you really can't see people's faces right where their face is. When you look directly at them, there's a big gray spot. And I kept telling my mom, I said, Mom, it's just a matter of time. You know, they're going to have a telescope that they'll implant that'll connect to the retina, and people will be able to see. I saw it this last week already. Now, if man can put in an artificial eye, you reckon our God can put in a real one? See, and they're doing the best they can by the physics of this world. The church needs to rise up and do the best we can by the physics of another world. That is going to take the tutoring of God. We're not ever going to get there with PhD and all those letters after your name. I'm not against education, except when it's education opposite to the Word of God. Well, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In your spirit, you are His bouncing baby child. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I don't want to that's part of His purpose. Go to Ephesians 3 now. I told you we were going to take a look again at Ephesians today. I want you to keep in mind that word purpose, the purpose of God. Conformed to His image. What image? The way I understand it, the Jesus we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's in our dispensation. We're supposed to walk like Him, talk like Him, act like Him, have the same results He had, if I understand the gospel at all. And I mean walk free from sin, be a devil master. Devil master. Well, that was a big devil. The madman of Gadara. Those devils were begging, please let us go into the swine. They're begging the master, please don't send us to perdition. Let us go into the swine. How many? How many went in there? How many swine ran off the cliff? Do y'all remember? Wasn't it 2,000? You mean a human can be possessed with 2,000 devils? Yep. And with a word from the master, they have to go. Hello, devil masters. In your spirit, you already are. That's exactly who you are. Seated positionally at the right hand of God in Christ, where the given a name that is above every name, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. When you say go, they'll be begging you. Don't make us go. You got to go. Just leave. Well, how in the world do we get there? Renewing of the mind. He's done all he can in the spirit. The spirit man of yours is already new. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. It's exactly possessing the land and possessing it in the arena of the mind. You've got to believe it. Well, Ephesians chapter 3 says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." This same Paul, talking about mysteries, same Paul that penned 1 Corinthians 14, "He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. No man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speak in mysteries." In that same chapter he says, "I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all." Wonder how by revelation he came to know all these mysteries. He prayed them out. He tells you exactly how he did it. He prayed them out. I pray more than all of you put together. And then he says, "I wish you all would speak in tongues. I would that you all spoke with tongues." And then near the end of the chapter he says, "And forbid not to speak with tongues." Well, they sure forbade it in the church I grew up in. But I'm glad they don't forbid it here. This mysteries, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Well, we could stop and teach right there for a long time. Earlier in this book, we did a study already about how he took the Gentiles and the Jews, and out of the two, he has made one new man. This new man is God's child on earth. It's Christ. It is a new species that didn't exist before. "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery," here it is again, "which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ." Well, what is this mystery? "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." That now unto the principalities and powers, where? In heavenly places. Come over to chapter 6. Keep your place there. Chapter 6. Verse 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against," oh my goodness, "principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness," where? Here it says in high places, in the margin it says heavenly places. Same word. Go back to chapter 3. His purpose, well, that's the next verse. Verse 10. "To the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church," not by him, by the church, "the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Did he manifest any wisdom of God to the principalities and the powers? You better believe it. He'd show up into a town where people had been bowed over with sickness, some of them 12 years, one guy 30 some odd years, the woman with the issue of blood for so many years and on and on, and the devils. But you think those devils haven't been saying, this is it for you, you're going to be this way forever, it's over, I have you now. You know, I have you now. Jesus says, no, you do not. I have some wisdom from God to be manifested to you, devil. Come out of her in Jesus. No, in my name? No. Come out of her. I don't know exactly how I did. Come out. In the name of God, come out. And those things would come out and they didn't have a choice. And they were startled that someone on planet Earth was walking in that kind of power. But they had to come out anyway. People healed of every kind of diseases. How many times have we been to that chapter in Matthew where it says they brought the lame, the halt, the blind, the sick, and many others, and they cast them down at His feet, and He healed them. And the principalities and powers are going, what? What's going on here? What's going on? Suddenly there's this person. We can't stop him. In fact, we can't do anything to him. All we can do is try and stir up the people against him. When he shows up, he has complete authority, complete power over us. We have no choice. And if they felt like that when there was one. See, God's eternal purpose, if we went back to that in Romans 8 again, it says that he would be we'd be conformed to the image of his son, that he would be the first born of many brethren. Hello, brethren. And it means exactly what you think it means. Brothers. It means family. This is why he said, the works that I do shall you do also. Why? We're born of the same Father. We have the same Spirit. We've been anointed by the same Holy Ghost. The only problem is the mind. And these things are all made manifest. Do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewed to what? I'm telling you right now, faith for all of these things that I'm talking about, you're going to find it in one place and one place only, and that's in God's Word. If Smith Wigglesworth could say, you know, this was the apostle of faith for his generation. That's what they called this man. I mean, so many miracles, so many people raised from the dead, cancers would just fall off on the platform when he'd pray. Just amazing things. And he said of himself, he says, I can't know God by how I feel. I can't know God by my circumstances. I know I'm going to heaven, but if I was to get that information from my emotions, I couldn't prove I'm going from heaven. How do I know I'm going to heaven? Because God's Word says I'm going to heaven. I know God by His Word. Church, our mind has to be renewed by His Word. Everything that I feel, everything that I touch, all of my emotions, the news reports, everything says I'm still just a slimy old sinner. My emotions tell me I'm not a conqueror. My emotions tell me I'm still the same old guy I was. I know yours probably isn't, but mine does. And I have to tell it. Now I know why Smith says, I don't allow my soul to tell me how I feel. I tell my soul how I feel. Well, that's real easy to preach. It's hard to do on Monday morning. Start getting up and start saying what God says. What I'm trying to get. See, and if I even use the word confession, about half the church nowadays is turned off. Because all he can think is about is blab it and grab it and, you know, and I know it's been perverted. I know that they've taken the gospel truth and made a selfish doctrine out of it. That doesn't change God's Word. He says, hold fast the profession, the confession of your faith. Who are you? Well, I'm weak and I'm powerless and I can't. Nothing happens when I pray. Oh, we're going to send you into battle. Huh? And right at the same time, while you're saying that, God's bouncing you on the knee and loving you and praying for you and healing you and providing all He can for you and doing everything He can. He goes, I wish you'd listen to the tutoring. I wish you'd allow the Holy Spirit to do a little more of that praying that you don't even know what to pray. I'm telling you right now, you don't. You let the Holy Spirit pray for you, and you won't be talking like that. See? To the intent that now, verse 10, Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now, everyone say now. Not after you die. If y'all are waiting to cast out devils till you go to heaven, there's no devils there. And the new heaven and the new earth, and I know, don't write me no letters. I know we're going to live not in heaven forever. We live on a new earth. Guess what? There's no devils there either. The devil's going to be cast into a lake of fire forever. Isn't that right? Well, someday I'll have power. Someday you'll believe the power that you already have. If you allow the Holy Ghost to do the tutoring of the Father. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known. Well, if you underline, by the church, by the ecclesia, by the assembly of the firstborn, by us. The devil's in heaven. I'm about to show you something. Watch this. Demonstrate the wisdom of God. And it's according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. We read that a while ago. What is that purpose? That we be conformed to the image of his Son. When? Now. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family, not religion, family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, Steve and I just the other day were talking again about the inner man. See, the inner man is a combination of both spirit and soul. I can see your outer man. You can see my outer man. If he was just going to say spirit here, he could have just said spirit. But he said inner man. That's the hidden man. That's the part on the inside. See, all we really get to see is the church going part of you on the outside. We don't know about all that stuff that you do on the inside. And I thank God for that. I thank God for that. But what we need strengthening by his Spirit in the whole inner man. Now, in your spirit, he's already done that. Where is that strengthening really needed? It's really needed in the soul. Now, we're not going to teach on this today. The only in your spirit, how he really strengthens you there is deliver you from false doctrine. That's another day. What's the end result of this strengthening in the inner man? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. If that wasn't in my Bible, and somebody just told me that, they walk up and said, "Did you know you can be filled with all the fullness of God?" I'd say, "You liar! What? Don't you know God? I mean, how big is God? What do you mean be filled with all?" But when it's in the Bible, I can't deny it. And I'm going, "You mean it's possible to be filled with all the fullness of God?" I got a feeling my strongholds, no matter how big they seem to me, if they go up against the fullness of God, you talk about toast. And notice how it's connected with love there. And that's why Dave's on the love limb. It's who God is. Somehow receiving that love that it's hard to comprehend, apparently, the breadth and the length and the depth of height, and to know that love of Christ. It passes knowledge. See, I know that's true. I mean, all the books and all the movies and all the songs that's ever been written about love, yet nobody really knows what it is till it happens to them. Words, I don't care how many books and songs, and you can admire all that, but words can never really, once you've tasted real love, once you go, why didn't anybody tell me? And you listened to 9,000 songs and read 42 books and saw 19 chick flicks. Yeah, but I didn't really know until I fell in love myself. I know it passes knowledge, doesn't it? It's something, it passes knowledge, but it says you can know it. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now that word power right there is dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite. You know, you say, I'm not able to open that door. That door is locked and I'm not able to open it. Let me hand you something. What have you got there? I'm handing you a stick of dynamite. With the help of that dynamite, I think you can open that door. Okay. Another way it's translated is ability. Ability. So we could read the verse like this. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the ability of God that works in us. Holy smoke. Well, Holy Spirit. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Go back to Hebrews 12 for a minute. Everywhere that I find this power, Hebrews, I know I had Hebrews in here, I find it connected with love. When we get to this tutoring over here, in our minds, he is talking about holiness, all right. He tells you plainly. The end result's going to be holiness and righteousness. Let's start again here now in Hebrews 12:6, verse 5. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. Not church, not really, let's say not church members, not church sitters, not members of this religion. You're not in a religion. You're in a family. And he's going, I have instruction for you, my child. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Now, if you haven't already done it, that word chastening, you ought to write out in the margin, tutoring. It's exactly what the word means. It means tutoring. Despise not thou the tutoring of the Lord. I want to remind you again, now tutoring is different than teaching. This assembly right now is a perfect example of teaching. I'm standing here, one teacher, many students, okay? But tutoring is not like that. When your child falls behind in math or science or something, you hire a tutor to come, and I mean one-on-one. No matter what problem your child has, no matter what strongholds, whatever your child, something is holding your child back, and that tutor's job is to work one-on-one with that child. Until whatever that stronghold is gone. And that child's walking like he should walk. Isn't that the perfect picture of the Holy Ghost? And because he is infinite, he has all of eternity to tutor just you. It's like Dave doesn't exist, like Gary doesn't exist, like the person on your left or right. No, he'll come and tutor just you. How does he do it? For when we know not what to pray as we ought, the Holy Spirit, he makes intercession for us. He prays according to the perfect will of God with groanings that can't be uttered. He prays those mysteries, all of these things that we're talking about. And he'll tutor you one-on-one. Don't despise it, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Normally that rebuked of him most times it has to do with morality, all right. He is the father of your spirit, and that's where you get spanked. Most of the time. You steal, you'll find out real quick. You lie, man, you'll feel that in your spirit. You can't get away with that. You can harden your heart if you keep doing it long enough. It's not that he quit spanking, you just get hardened to it. You become calloused. But the real, most often time when I get rebuked nowadays, thank God I haven't stolen in a long time. Long time. Year. Okay. Decades. Okay. All right. No, it's usually in lack of love areas where suddenly I speak harshly, or I do something that's selfish again, or I do something harsh or with an agenda. Real quiet in here now. That's when I get rebuked of him, and he goes, that's not me. Even when you think you're doing the right thing and it's your job. Again, Alan's not here, but I've told this when he was here, so I'm not telling anything out of school. He's told it. Alan's in Brazil. He tells a story when he was working for a major ministry, and part of his job was to negotiate with the hotels regarding the room rates and what kind of meals would be offered and the prices of the meals and all of that. And he said this one time, this guy, man, he was trying to drive a hard bargain for the hotel. My job was to drive a hard bargain for the ministry. And I mean, we got into it, and I'm telling you, by the time it was over, we got our way. I'm telling you that right now. Now, we had a few words, but we got our way. He was telling Dave that. Dave says, well, right after that, did you tell him about Jesus? I love our pastor. Boy, he goes right for the heart, you know. Yeah. Get in some argument with some salesman over something or other, you know. Yeah, right after that, you're going to tell him about Jesus. Don't faint when you're rebuked of him. That rebuking is tutoring too. He says, that's not the way we function here. And that tutoring in the love area especially, I noticed that power, that ability, that dunamis, that dynamite power of God is always, everywhere I find it, it's linked up with the love of God. This tutoring is conforming us to the image of Christ. And sure, you're going to get rebuked. Does it mean he doesn't love you? You're his bouncing baby child on his knees going, ready, come around, I'll tickle you, come on. But he's trying to tutor us and grow us up and conform us to that image in our soul. Yeah. Whom the Lord loves, he tutors, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Well, that scourging, again, is in your spirit. And here it is, verse 7. If you endure chastening. Does that remind you of a prophecy you've ever heard of? You know, on a big wall plaque out here in the foyer of the prayer center, the very first word, the very first prophecy that ever came forward at the prayer center all those years ago, endurance is the key. And here we're told, if, meaning not everybody does, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. What son is he whom the father chastens not? I don't know of any father, even in the flesh. Well, I guess there are some. Let me say it this way. My father was a very good teacher. He was the father of my flesh, and he disciplined me mostly in the flesh. And he had no trouble applying the board of understanding to the seat of learning. I put it that way. But it wasn't, he took no real pleasure in that. He's trying to get my attention, you know. My dad's a hard working, he put a lot of good things in me. Hard working, honest to a fault. He says, boy, don't you ever lie to me. Now, if you do something wrong, he says, I'll probably spank you for it. But if you lie to me about it, the spanking you're going to get for lying is going to be twice as hard as the one you did for doing it. You come tell me the truth and we'll deal with it from there. Well, see, God doesn't discipline you in the flesh, no matter what a lot of preachers preach. He is the father of your spirit. And that's where you get the correction. We're almost out of time. We're right back at this again. What is the purpose of God? conforming us to the image of His Son. And I mean now, in this age that we live, in the dispensation we're in now. He loves us already. As far as in your spirit, you're His child, His delight, His love. Jesus is your righteousness. That's why you can approach the throne and with boldness and confidence. Little Lily, she has no fear approaching her grandpa. You know? And I think that's exactly the way we should run for the throne. All right? But right at the same time, I got a lot to teach that girl. I'm looking forward to it. Now, I hope she endures the instruction. I hope she'll listen. And that's what God's exhorting us. Every hour you give to prayer, He is doing that tutoring and that instructing. If we will endure that instruction, He'll continue to deal with us as His children. Did you get anything out of that? Give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. We'll see you in 30 minutes.